and welcome to Stories and Situations. My name is Jackson Glove, and I'm back from my two-week vacation.
Hello, my name is Brendan Griffith, and I didn't go anywhere.
Well, my name is Jeff Chambers. I guess I went to New Orleans, or Baton Rouge, wherever. Like, that's the factual
But for how long?
Wait.
The audience demands
just for the weekend. Like, I think that was why we didn't record last week, because
I was Jeff.
Everybody else. Whoa. That's not point figures at whose vacation was the reason why we had a big podcast vacation.
Oh, you went somewhere too? Like,
what? Yeah, I went to a Netrunner tournament. Two of them.
Like, not in Houston? Like, did you travel or like what?
In Houston? Yeah, in Houston. I mean, one of them was, in Pearland and one of them was it was at Girard's, my local game shop. I won the one at Girard's, and I top fored in the one at, in Pearland. Yeah. Which, the one in Pearland was like, how did I even do this? Because my runner deck was garbage, but my corporation deck was like, we're riding to victory! I went undefeated on the corporation side and was like, itching, like, barely skirting across on the runner side. The corporation just like, why are you dragging us down? Like, why are you dragging us down, runner? I played.
What you're saying is you need to fix that one.
The problem is I just need to play what everyone else plays. Because everyone else plays Faust, which is, okay, basically there's three factions. There's the Shaper faction, which does, Shaper bullshit is like their thing. They do like instant speed, like search through my deck and get exactly what I need and then play it, sort of stuff. That happens like in the middle of like when things shouldn't happen. Like instant speed stuff. Criminal does a lot of running. They just get into servers and then they get money. And then Anarch like destroys everything. Like Anarch says, oh, there you. Those are some nice defenses you've set up. It would be a shame if something happened to them.
And then knock
yeah, down. They just sort of like push over your defenses. So the thing is, Anarch is really, really strong right now because Anarch doesn't have to pay to get through defenses. They just destroy the defenses. Criminal and Shaper both have to pay to get through defenses. Like one way or another, they are paying to get through defenses, and you have to pay over and over again. Anarch says, no, let me push down that wall, and then I will never have to pay for it again. So Anarch is very strong right now. And then they have an ice breaker that's very different from everything in the game, where instead of paying money to break through, you discard cards. So, and then they play a bunch of cards that are like, draw a bunch of cards because you're awesome. Like, so I guess a couple cool moments did happen. My last round before the final, before cut to top four, I lost both handily to Tom, who's a really good player. But he was afraid of my corporation. He was playing Anarch, just like everybody else on the runner side. He was afraid of my corporation, and in the finals, I got paired against him first of the top four. And since he was the higher seed, he got to choose whether to play runner or corporation. So he chose me play runner. And I got very lucky and just stomped him. because my runner deck can do something like every once in a while. And he was playing a deck that didn't play a lot of defenses, which Criminal is good against, because Criminal says if you don't have a lot of defenses, I'm gonna get a lot of money and win. Trying to explain it to the layman, but anyway, I got some playmats and some promo cards. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I gave the playmats to one of the playmats to Abel because it was his favorite character was on him. And we've been playing a lot more. Every Thursday we go down to Girard's. I started recording some games, set the GoPro up on a bike pump and had it face down on top of the camera, looking at the cards.
And so just like a regular video or like, you're not like streaming it or anything?
I uploaded it as soon as I could, yeah. So it's pretend streaming. I don't know, we could, like streaming is, like, can you stream from a cell phone?
I wouldn't know. I mean, it sounds like you probably could, but I mean,
I don't know.
YouTube starts, if you stream through YouTube, but I don't know if you can stream through your phone, it automatically starts to put it on YouTube for you.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know if you can do that on your phone, or if a computer is required.
That'd be something to look into, because I don't think I can do it from the GoPro, but I know people can stream from, because, like, Star City does it, so the technology exists. Like, streaming technology exists.
Sure.
Like, but, my makeshift thing.
They're Twitch, pretty much.
Yeah, Twitch, YouTube, same.
Right.
Streaming is streaming. So I uploaded that to the Netrunner group. I think I'm going to start doing that as much as I can. I mean, because being a content creator is important. Hence the podcast.
Well, be careful with putting anything on YouTube recently, because a lot of companies have started trying to claim material that's not even theirs. That's become the new issue with YouTube, is the Damn It Daniel thing that's going around the internet. Someone put 2 hours of silence and labeled it Damn It Daniel. And 4 different groups all try to copyright it at the same time.
Wait, how does that... I'm trying to figure out how that works.
They're copyright happy right now. They go to YouTube and go, but it's ours! And YouTube goes, well, you're a corporation, and we're just going to suck you off. So, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So YouTube has got some major problems right now with bowing to its new corporate masters, because it's now YouTube Red, which really... Are we going to call something YouTube Red?
We are.
When, I don't know, any number of internet searches will reveal that there are other things that have red in the title that you really don't want to be associated with.
Like Pokemon Red.
Yes. Yes.
Communism?
Communism? Let's all guess what red means. What is Brendan alluding to? Send in your things. Send in your thoughts to storiesandsituations@outlook.com. What could Brendan be alluding to?
How have you not jumped to the immediate thought?
Red Dawn? The movie?
No! Don't worry about it.
Red... is there a new Fire Emblem character who's red?
No.
Is there... Oh, it's Deadpool's outfit.
No.
Deadpool's outfit. I saw that movie with you guys.
No.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, that was like... I saw a movie.
I saw a movie. My name's Jeff.
I try not to overreact to things.
Yeah. It was
adequate.
It was
good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I
appreciate the fact that Ryan Reynolds actually likes the character and did everything in his power to make sure that it didn't turn into another Green Lantern movie. He apparently was a big fan of Green Lantern until DC did what they did, and now he hates DC. Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay.
It was really bad.
It wasn't like Empire Strikes Back?
No, Empire Strikes Back is good.
Okay. I don't know. It was pitched as like a Star Wars movie.
It was bad.
At least... From what I haven't seen it.
Like, nobody, you could tell no one in the movie wanted to be there. The special effects were way too rampant and way too obvious. And this was like a modern movie, too.
Right.
You go look at, you know, Avengers or something like that. The CGI, they do a very good job in most cases of trying to blend it in with the scenery and not make it super horribly obvious. Green Lantern was like, we don't care. That giant death cloud is CGI. To deal with it. And his suit was CGI, and like a bunch of other crap. It was
they couldn't even have like a real suit. Like, he doesn't have like a special. Anyway,
well, his suit is. Never mind.
They quite literally put him in like green CGI spandex and had him run around.
Right. Well, they didn't even
sell him a suit.
Suit is not sewn. Like in canon, the suit is not. Real. This suit is a construct of the ring.
It still looked really bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because it wasn't this like somewhat of a low budget movie too, or not low budget, but like
they didn't expect it. They had a medium budget. They didn't expect it to do terribly well because they pretty much ignored, you know, what needed to happen.
All right. So let's go to good Ryan Reynolds superhero movies.
So Deadpool.
That's a bit of a stretch. No, whatever, sure.
Okay, what else has he done that's a superhero movie?
He has done Ant-Man.
No, that was Paul Rudd.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, he hasn't done.
He did
Kingsman. Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Is that no, he's not in Kingsman
two
at all. Kingsman was pretty good.
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. He was the Pizza Place is the superhero.
Okay.
It's actually a Voltron thing.
Oh, okay.
There's two guys and a girl, and they like come together in what they call the Pizza Place, and is a giant robot.
That could have gone so many directions.
It fights a kaiju.
I was afraid where you were going with that.
What? Well, now, do you not fear the kaiju? I mean, I know, of all Jews that Brendan fears, I think the Kai is the most feared Jew.
The Kai species of...
What? I have no idea where you're even trying to go with that one.
All right, so I'm trying to get back to the Deadpool, Brendan, and we keep...
So you know how his costume was not CGI, right?
No, I don't know how. How was his costume not CGI?
His costume was definitely not CGI.
But how was it?
It came very much sewn together, well done, and one of Ryan Reynolds' new favorite stories for interviews now is how he unofficially stole the outfit after production was over. So it was wrap day, they finished, and he had the suit on, and he made sure to finagle his way to like the last thing he shot, included the suit. And, all right, so it was done. It was a wrap for Ryan Reynolds. He starts walking off the sound stage. And the costume guy's like, all right, cool. So let me help you get out of that. And he's like, yeah, you're funny. And walks away.
And never was seen again.
And he kept the suit.
And he's still wearing it.
He wore the suit off the set?
Yes.
Okay, I guess.
Because he said from the beginning, if I get this thing done, I'm walking off with a suit because this has been more than 10 years of my life trying to make this thing happen. I'm keeping the damn suit.
Okay. Well, there's no way there's only one suit.
Oh, sure. There's no way there's only one, but it's like, it's mine.
Yeah.
And he walked off. Like, even when Chris Pratt and who's Captain America? Battle of the Chris's.
Christmas Pratt?
Chris Pratt and...
Yeah, now that you...
Chris
now
that Chris. Pratt.
Okay, we know well, Chris. The guy who played Captain America, who I cannot remember my name right now, and because we're freaking underground and the internet doesn't work.
What? Welcome to the Underground Podcast.
We'll find his name later, or the audience can yell at us.
Or we don't care.
They didn't get to keep their suits, so when they had that Super Bowl bet, where... Seahawks versus Patriots or
Double Hawks.
Yeah. When that happened and they lost, but the other guy who I can't remember his name right now was also a good sport.
Johnny Depp.
So Chris Pratt had to go as Star-Lord to like a children's hospital in New England. Okay. And the guy I can't remember his name right now had to go to a children's hospital in Seattle. And as the respective characters. So they had to go to the studio and go, hey, you know, this is charity work. I need to borrow the suit. Well, Ryan Reynolds doesn't have to worry about that at all. So whenever he decides to go to charity work, then he's already has the suit.
Okay. So I'm not sure what kind of charity work Deadpool is going to be doing.
Hilarious charity work.
We did see it at an appropriate venue. I think
which I sincerely appreciate it because I talked to Ben and Rachel later, and they had to see it in Lake Jackson.
Uh-huh.
And two rows in front of them was a family where the youngest was like 5.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like 5 through like a 10-year-old. There was like 3 or 4 of them. And there were a couple other like younger kids. And one family, he said, walked out after like one of the very first couple scenes.
The movie's rated R. Like, what are they doing?
That's the thing that makes me mad more than anything is you have those online petition groups that are like, why isn't Deadpool PG-13? I need to take my, you know, bratty entitled child to this movie. And then they're like, well, don't go see it. It's too violent and there's too much sex and all this other stuff. And okay, we saw the movie.
Yeah.
There was some sex.
Okay.
But that's, when you really think about it, nothing was shown except for Ryan Reynolds' butt.
Okay.
I mean, I would say that it's not appropriate for a 5-year-old.
It's absolutely not appropriate for a 5-year-old.
I'd say appropriate for Hannah. But I'm not a Hannah parent, so what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends on like how like cool your parents are.
But,
yeah.
But you think
I'm
about
a cool,
it.
I'm a cool dad for
in
Hannah.
The grand scheme of things. Think about other R-rated movies. Think about freaking Terminator.
I haven't seen Terminator.
Was sad man.
Think of a like think of a movie. How about okay? Let's go with the default Crank 2.
Was anything shown in that movie?
I'm pretty sure there's no way that movie's not R. Actually, there could be a way.
I don't know if the internet worked. I could
verify. He was having sex on a horse race.
Okay, like, but did they show anything?
They showed Jason Statham like with a hat, sure, like Bronco riding.
Okay. They showed thrusting. But was there any Ghibli bits?
I'm pretty sure. Yes, there was also a strip club.
There was a strip club. But that's different.
Brendan, there's no way Crank 2 is not R.
Okay. But you're proving my point here. I know there was a strip club.
That R-rated movies exist?
No. That there's a difference between levels of R-rated movies. Because there was a strip club in Deadpool.
Okay. I'm searching the
radar. And that was the only time anyone was topless.
What point are we making now? Like,
the point is how many Ghibli bits were shown.
Ryan Reynolds'
butt was shown a couple.
I'm pretty sure that Ryan Reynolds' girlfriend's Ghibli bits were shown.
No, she had her hands on him.
Okay, well, I have a better visual cortex, and I know what her Ghibli bits look like.
Oh, yeah. The internet knows. Yeah. But
I don't think like the decider of like which rated R. Because yeah. I think Matrix was R rated R.
It also has to, like, how many cursey words can you say?
Oh, yeah. Which they didn't hold back on that. No. I'm just saying, as far as, like, sex in a movie, it was relatively tame compared to other movies in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, maybe compared to other rated R movies?
Yes, compared to other rated R movies.
But compared to other PG-13 movies.
I don't know. There were, like, 2.5. Crank 2 is definitely rated R. Yeah. There were definitely some sex scenes in this movie. It was a medium R. Like, they were not... Sure. It was not like it could have been PG-13.
No. There's no way I'm suggesting it could have been PG-13.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that, compared to other R-rated movies, that part was relatively tame. So I think it's funny that this kind of proves the whole American mentality of somebody's Ghibli bits are on the screen. How dare they?
I think it was...
Compared to people freaking got murdered horribly in that movie. Mm-hmm. And nobody cares
saying,
about
okay,
that.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Nobody cares about that. That's what made it more rated R.
It was still rated R.
The language... No, I'm saying the language and the violence are ultimately what made that rated R. And nobody cared about that. The only complaint from the parents of entitled children was people are doing it on screen. That was the major complaint. Because in America... We cannot see Ghibli bits, but we can see people get murdered. In the rest of the world, no one gives a shit about people doing it on screen. But oh my god, that was violent. Like, we shouldn't have that.
Okay, so I guess different moral standards exist in different countries.
Yes.
Thanks for...
That's the point I was getting to.
So the point I was getting to was, we got chimichangas.
Yeah.
Because apparently, I don't know...
It's a running thing for Deadpool.
I figured, you know,
those were okay. They were not very good, in my opinion. I've had other chimichangas. Those were okay.
I think that they were.
When I think chimichanga, I think it. Okay, when you go to most American Mexican restaurants, a chimichanga is effectively a giant burrito covered in either cheese gravy or something else like that. With a little bit of lettuce on the side, so you feel better about your terrible decision.
Okay.
That is a chimichanga.
Sure.
They fed micro burrito type things.
Okay.
That I don't even know had meat in them. It was like beans and some other stuff. They were okay.
Look, they had sour cream and salsa. Man, it was tortilla with cheese, meat, or vegetables. It's Mexican food.
Like, well, yeah, it's any combination thereof, and then you just call it something new, yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, I enjoyed it because of the When in Rome situation. And they played the chimichanga song with a bunch of Deadpool cosplayers before. And I was like, that's okay.
That was pretty funny.
I guess. Yeah. Thanks Drafthouse for not showing advertisements to me. I really like that.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Well, I guess, I don't know, it was an advertisement for chimichangas, and I did buy chimichanga. So, you know, maybe it's more effective advertising in the immediate sense.
This leads me into my angry moment of the week.
What? Already? Oh, man.
So, no, we're gonna do this at this point. We're not gonna get to the happy moment. Because this is a nice, good segue here. We're talking about advertisements.
Okay, well, I'm taking my ride mode of the, transportation mode of the future to Brendan's angry moment.
You sound so disappointed.
In the angry moment of the week?
Yes.
What? Okay.
We gotta have different segments. So I'm introducing our new segment.
This cannot be a new segment.
All right.
Old man Brendan shakes fist. Old man Brendan
shakes fist at the crowd. Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah.
That was last week. Actually, quite literally. Funny story. This cloud was really weird. I was looking at it, and I told my golf kids, I'm like, look at that weird cloud. And they're like, Coach D, we're focusing on playing. And I'm like, all right, you're missing out.
You're missing out on this weird cloud.
So, anyway, as you well know, it was decided in corporate America in the far-off year of 1990s, that era, that it was not cool. It is not cool to put Solitaire, Minesweeper, or any fun game on any computer that goes out to someone within corporate America or any, you know, job similar to that.
Okay.
So when we got our laptops a long time ago for school, obviously, no games at all.
No games allowed, Brendan.
No games allowed. So because I have an actual smartphone now.
Okay.
Thanks, Galaxy. You know, screw you at Microsoft and your shitty phone. Now I can actually have apps. Well, I decided recently that, you know what game I really miss? Solitaire.
Oh, good luck.
Solitaire is a really fun game.
Okay.
So I go to the store, and there's like 50 bajillion different like solitaire games.
Did you get Soltar? Soltar 2, Revenge of Sol?
Soltar! New Adventures of Soltar. No, so I found the highest rated one. I was okay.
That's
not so I downloaded it, and I was like, okay, this is fun, I'm messing with the stuff, and an ad pops up.
Yep.
Alright, cool. Click off. Play my game for a while.
Like a full overlay?
Full overlay,
oh,
ad.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, you know, I'm not going to be like Jackson. Everything is okay. No, the world is not ending.
The world is
over. It's just an ad. Everything, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So.
Oh, such high hopes. Brendan, your hopes, they're so high. They're so lofty.
So I play my game. I beat it. I'm like, all right, cool. So
you beat Solitaire?
I beat Solitaire pretty easy, yeah.
Oh, man.
One card mode and three card mode.
Call the president or something.
Call the old people's card game committee.
Yeah.
So I play it, and I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to change it up. I'm going to switch to three-card mode. You know, the old school Vegas-type solitaire, where it's infinitely harder. Yeah. So I'm playing through.
Oh, do you do Vegas style, where you go through the deck once, and then you lose $1 billion?
Well, you can do that. Oh. But because regular solitaire for most people is you turn one card over at a time.
Yeah,
the advanced solitaire is three cards at a time, but you only hit that first one of the three. Yeah. So, I switch modes. I'm getting ready to play full overload ad.
Okay.
Okay, this is annoying. Yeah. Click off. Play my game. I have to do something work related. Put my phone away. Do work stuff. I go back out in the hall because, you know, passing period, you can be on your phone and check stuff. So pull up my phone. I'm like, I'm going to play me some solitaire. Boot it up. Ad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like, Brendan, haven't looked at an ad in the last 3 minutes.
Pretty much. Turn my phone off, come back later, ad. I'm like, okay, this is starting to get annoying. Starting to, but everything is okay. Again, I'm not going to pull a Jackson. Everything is fine.
Everything is fine.
Put my phone down. My phone buzzes. I'm like, okay, I got a text message. Look it over. Alert thing at the top of my screen. Would you like to finish your game of solitaire? Oh, okay. This is a bit annoying.
This is aggressive.
I think that you can go.
Come back later.
When
I wait a couple hours.
Tapping him on the shoulder like, hey, yeah. Brendan.
Wait a couple hours. It goes, you haven't beaten your daily amount of solitaire games yet. Would you like to keep playing? And I'm like, this is getting annoying. So more full page ads. We're getting on to day three now, and my patience is starting to wear.
Every app that I download gets one of those. They get one notification, and then I say, okay, you can no longer send me notifications.
I need to figure out how to do that.
Because as soon as you get one notification, you can click and hold on the notification, and then go to app info, Jackson, and then uncheck the notifications.
I got a notification at midnight that night saying, brand new day, start your new challenges for solitaire.
That's smart program.
Why? Like, they're just trolling you with that pen. Like, they know that you're...
It's like, yeah, so, let's send them a message that's gonna make noise at the start of the day when people are gonna be, probably asleep. Like, what?
Probably.
Well, definitely for me.
They want you to remember to put your phone on silent so that when you wake up, you can be happy to see a new solitaire game.
So, the frequency of full page ads is starting to pick up, actually. And,
It's still on your phone, like you haven't deleted it yet.
We're working towards it. But yeah, that is my angry moment of the week.
Look, Jeff, you still do the Candy Crush, right?
I mean, it's not like that bad, though. Well, and the other thing, I mean, they have ads for their own games, I think. Like in the corner somewhere. It's not,
I've been playing the Magic Puzzle Quest. I don't know. I've been playing a lot of that. I installed it
and haven't even played it yet.
It's fine. It's not as good as Puzzle Quest 2. And it's
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, it's definitely not as good as Puzzle Quest 1.
Those were like more complex,
probably not as good as Puzzle Quest Galactic. Like I submit that Puzzle Quest 2 is a better Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest game than Puzzle Quest.
There's no like deck building aspect, but then again, that's kind of, I don't know. At least they like try it. I mean, it's not like a horrible game, but right. I mean, after like an hour, I was like, okay, I get what's going on. I'm done.
Yeah. Cause all mana is colorless and that's not really what.
Wow. Really?
Well, okay. That's so annoying. You pick your Planeswalker, and then your Planeswalker determines, okay, so if you're Gideon, then white matches get you more mana than black matches.
Okay.
So and then it's just however much mana you have total goes to your spells. It's not like Puzzle Quest where it's like, I need to cast a red spell. Let me match red gems.
Mm.
So you'd have different color spells in Puzzle Quest 2 and Puzzle Quest 1.
Mm.
And you could do like the infinite magic cheat if you get a high enough level guy, but then it breaks down because if your opponent has any sort of magic resistance, that cheat doesn't work. Anyway, I need to move closer to the microphone so I'm not sound like I'm super far away. It's okay. I would not recommend the game, but I've been playing it too much. It basically gets to the point where all creatures have to attack every turn. So you just get a defender with first strike and you win.
But you have to you have to get the creature out of the issue, but yeah.
You have to get him out and then get him big. And Gideon's really broken at doing that. Hmm. Because Gideon can just make creatures big, I guess, his power.
Yeah.
Well, he just puts +1 on counters on things.
Well, I mean, the one thing that actually kind of annoyed me was you can only have three creatures at the same time.
Yeah, that too.
So, because I mean, there weren't like, because I think I had the green, like, was it Nissa?
Yeah, you start with Nissa.
And I want to say there was a card that I got, like, I opened in a pack or something where it's like an elephant. It's like, if you have like exactly one creature, you can put like another like 1/1 into play.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I mean, that would be good if you were kind of going for the, like, go wide strategy, but, like, if you only play three creatures, that's kind of, like, weird.
So they do combine.
That's, like, a good mechanic. Because, I mean, like, the power of the creatures, like, can matter, so.
Yeah.
But, it is one of those games where, like, I played it, for, like, I was, like, addicted to it for, like, a day, and then I'm like, okay, I'm good. Like, I've got it out of my system, like, move on. Yeah.
On my playlist, I'm getting a house now. Yay, brand new news.
Where at?
Oh, Clear Lake. We're at some place.
Cool.
And yeah, it's like right by work because I don't want to commute. Like that's my number one driving factor of life is do not want to commute. So I'm getting a house right by where I live right now, pretty much. And anyway, so then I want to get I want to play some video games someday. And those games are The Witness, Firewatch, and Superhot are games that are out that I want to play now.
Superhot's actually out?
Superhot came out this week.
What?
Yeah.
The demo was awesome.
Yeah, that game, the game is apparently just as awesome.
Huh.
Like, what kind of game is it? I don't think I've ever heard of
that. That was the one where nothing moves until you move.
It's a first-person puzzle shooter.
Oh, okay. I heard about that then, yeah.
The graphics are awesome. It's got a sweet baseline. And by that I mean like the music. There's like a bass guitar that plays.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what else that could mean. Like, what?
Is it on Steam?
I think so.
Okay.
It's like $22 or something. No, it's not.
I'll have to wait till next paycheck still.
Maybe it is. Maybe I'm thinking of Firewatch.
Firewatch is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. So Firewatch, anyway. And then there's this, the HTC Vuvuzela, the Vivo. I want to get one of those. The more I see of it, the more I'm like, this is awesome.
What is it?
The HTC VR thing.
Okay.
One of the high-end VRs.
Okay.
So like a step up from what you have, but also not out yet. So
update. Netflix has not changed yet.
It's still winter.
Snowy cabin. Yeah.
It's still winter, Brendan. Yeah. It's February.
Yep.
I guess it's still February. I was like, wait. I mean, we're in Houston, so it seems like it's like already summer, but like,
December, February, I guess March is spring.
March should be spring.
Anyway, so the HTC Vive Superhot is going to do something in VR, I'm told, which I think is going to be amazing. There's the default two games look amazing. The free VR demo games, Fantastic Contraption and Job Simulator. Those look pretty awesome.
Job Simulator?
Yeah, Job Simulator.
Okay.
Do tell. Look, this is gonna go over like the problem of VR, which is you describe anything you describe.
It's like I'm plugging a computer into a plug. Like
I plugged in a computer. Like
is there a controller for this one?
So the way the Vive works is that it has like a head thing, it has cameras, and it knows where you are, and it has sensors in both hands.
Okay.
So it's true. It's bigger immersion.
Sure.
Because you have a controller in each hand. You're grabbing stuff in three dimensions. You're looking around. You're moving around.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, I guess Oculus is more like you're sitting in a chair and you still have a keyboard or something.
No.
No.
Oh well, yeah. Actual Oculus. Yes.
Yeah.
You can buy a controller now.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
So there's not really positional tracking, which the Vive has positional tracking. So that looks awesome. Job Simulator is like one of those silly games. Think like Surgeon Simulator.
Okay.
Or I don't know, Goat Simulator. You know, it's like the simulator games where it's like this is nothing like what it's trying to simulate at all. So like you're sitting at a desk and you like throw coffee at a boss or something.
So it's absurd for the sake of being absurd.
Yeah, okay. And so Fantastic Contraption. Those are nice party. It seems like they're nice party games. Like that's what they're trying to get.
Mm.
That's what VR is trying to sell right now. Is like party games, even though it's just a single person experience.
Mm.
And then there's the Utah Experiment or something. Some crazy, ridiculous horror game that seems amazing.
Nope.
it seems like 10,000 gallons of nope. And I definitely want to play this game. It's you have a gun, then there's monsters.
Okay.
And half the people are like, this game is way too easy. I get headshots every time. Half the people are like, this game is impossible. And the difference is, have you used a gun?
Yeah.
Because people that are like, this game is impossible, don't know how to use guns. Because they just mapped a gun to one of the controllers.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you know how to shoot?
Yeah.
Because if it's just pointed in that general direction and spray, like, it doesn't, yeah. That's not how guns work.
Yeah.
You actually have to aim. There's no, like, crosshair or anything. So you have to, you know, line up your sights and,
right.
and fire, like, a real weapon. Then, but it's like crazy horror game. Like everything's dark. You have a flashlight that's running out of batteries. You have to keep track of how many bullets you have. Like there's no like you have. You
there's
know,
no HUD.
There's no HUD. There's no yeah. like you have 3 bullets left in your clip. There's like you, know, you got to count that. That looks so the. That game it's on Polygon right now. I forget what it's called. It's like some Utah experiment or something. Looks great. There's a kaiju in it.
What?
Big
giant monster?
Yeah, there's a big giant. Basically, the developers were like, okay, well, how big of a monster can we make?
okay.
And they're like, because what's the coolest thing in VR is because you can really get a sense of scale in VR that you cannot do on a 32-inch, 64-inch screen.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how big your TV is, like, the kaiju still is not it's kaiju-sized.
Sure.
In VR, the kaiju is kaiju-sized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 10 Cloverfield Lane, is that anything to do with the Cloverfield movie?
Isn't it
like a spinoff or something?
It's J.J. Abrams.
Sure, but, I mean, is there an actual monster in it?
I don't care. I didn't see Cloverfield 1.
Isn't it like really? Someone's like being trapped in a house or something?
Yeah. It's like Cloverfield 1 was pretty decent, actually. Surprisingly so.
It's not like a sequel, but it's just it's like a
side. I'm actually really glad I didn't see it in theaters, though. Because that big of a screen, I might have gotten motion sickness.
Oh, yeah. It's all found. Is it found footage?
Yeah, it's a found footage type of video, yeah.
Oh. So... How does the job search going, Jeff? I hear you got one?
Well, yeah, I'm actually like starting a new job this Monday. I guess like what I was wanting to like tell a story about was the actual job hunt because like either of y'all had to deal with like actual recruiters? I don't know if that's like a thing.
Recruiter in what way?
Yeah. Well,
cuz it's not like where you directly cuz I mean in the old days it's like
talk to somebody and they find a job for you.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
I mean essentially.
Okay.
Because apparently in the software development world, like that's my field, that's kind of like the main way that you get job. Like
I could see that.
Although ironically, the job that I ended up getting, I didn't go through a recruiter. So that I mean, I think the one every other interview I went on, you know, a recruiter was involved. I mean, it makes sense because it's like, you know, the skills are kind of like normalized, anyways. But like, well, no. But what I was going to bring up was because I mean, there are like good recruiters and then there are like bad recruiters that like. And usually, I guess just like imagine like an Indian accent. I'm not going to do the actual thing, but like,
wow.
But
okay,
go on. But someone that's like, oh, you know, we have a job in Houston, Texas, like, and it's like, nope. Like, what do you like that kind of pisses me off. Like, I mean, and his accent was fine. Like, I can understand what he was saying, but like, you can't.
It's like the fourth largest city. Yeah.
Because I don't think his office was like based in Houston. He was kind of like a nationwide. It better not be based in Houston.
It better not be.
Because that'd make it even worse. But like, even then, like, it's like you're, like, again, it's like the fourth largest city in Texas, like, or in the nation. Like, you gotta know, it's like, you gotta know how to pronounce, and it's not even like hard to pronounce or anything. It's like, so I don't know. That was, man, and what sucks is like, if it wasn't for the fact that, like, my name was, like, attached to, like, these recruiting things, like, I totally would have just gone, like, full, you know, prank mode because, like, I'm like, okay, well, obviously I'm not working with you, so, like, I'm not, like, it's like, if you don't know how to pronounce Houston, you're not going to be able to, like, sell me to some, you know, but, I mean, I can't even think of, like, what I would have done, but, like, just, I don't know, I probably would have, like, thought it been just, I don't know, I can't even think of, like, what prank I would have done, but just, like, I probably would have come up with something.
Like, oh, Houston is my favorite city.
Yeah. Or, yeah, like, tried to, like, talk in some stupid accent or, like, you know,
ask them
to repeat themselves, like, over and over again or, I don't know, like, just stupid things like that. I'm not, like, that creative when it comes
to... So which one of these jobs worked out for you? Like, I guess, how could you tell from the beginning? Like, was it, did the interview go well? Like, what was...
Or wait, or what's the question? I'm not quite sure what
so
you're asking.
Which one of the jobs worked out for you? Like, so you say it wasn't through a recruiter. Like, the recruiter didn't work out?
Well, yeah, like, the job that, it's like, Cornerstone is the company's name. I mean, they just do, yeah, blah, 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 they, you know, programming, that's what I'm doing. It's essentially the same job as when I was at Reynolds and Reynolds, like,
okay.
It's programming, but they do, like, mortgaging or whatever, something, you know, they use programming for. But one of it, like, the actual, like, process, it was like, I think it was like a phone interview, and then like I did like a face-to-face interview, and there was like some like little test that I kind of, I like, you know, it, I want to say it was like 5 questions, like, you know, there was a database thing and a like a bunch, some logic stuff, and you know, and I finished that really fast, and then and they invited me the next day, and there was like a programming test that was like a 2-hour thing, and like, you know, that was a breeze, like, I, you know, and then I think it was like later that day they're like, oh, we're gonna offer you a job, and it's like, okay, you know, like, what's up? Like, but so I mean, that, yeah, that was like that story.
So basically, like can you program? Like, was it like write programs or?
Well, yeah, the final test was like, it was effectively like input something from a file and then like output it to
okay.
a file.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was a little bit more complicated, but
yeah.
But I mean, it boiled down to that essentially. So that's why I'm like, oh, okay, this is so easy. Like, I'm just gonna like do this and you know. I mean, my interview skills actually aren't that great. So the fact that like I actually got to like do the programming test, I mean that made it really easy.
Because it's like yes, I can, I have good people skill.
Yeah.
Like,
Anyways, but like
that's good on that company for recruiting based on your skills and not based on how well you talk to people. I mean, if I were to say, like, can programmers talk to people very well?
Well, I mean, I think they have to, like, I think, like, everyone eventually, I guess, yeah, everyone eventually does some kind of, like, some kind of test.
Yeah, I mean, like.
But usually they, like, narrow it down by doing, like, an interview of some kind first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, and I guess, like, what was kind of frustrating about, like, the job search is, like, I think I fell into, like, a weird gut, because I think I've only been doing what I do for like around 3 years, and there's like a weird thing where like they'll want someone that's like has like 5 years of experience or like an entry level person. So like there weren't like that many jobs available that
well,
like had to. So I mean,
you chose like you applied for the 5-year ones and just says yeah I can do it or
well no I mean I still applied but like I mean it, at the end of the day I just wasn't like you know qualified so you know those never okay. went anywhere because I think the job I'm at right now it's not entry level, but it's like, it's basically just like, maybe like a year or two of experience, you know, that sort of thing. So, I mean, like, there weren't that many jobs that, like, needed that exact amount of experience.
Oh, okay.
So that, I don't know. But, I mean, I guess, like, you keep searching for jobs eventually and put your resume out there. Eventually, you know, you'll get something. So that's,
yeah. Sounds good. All right, Brendan, are you ready to dive in?
To what?
To the Mr. Trumps.
How is he still a thing? No, honestly.
Because when you have enough money, when you have $2.3 billion.
Okay, no. What I'm saying is I understand why he's a thing.
Okay.
I'm asking how. How is he a thing? How did the Republican establishment not realize that he was an unstoppable juggernaut and is just now trying to take him down? When it's too late. It is way too late at this point.
He's, what is it? He has turned the debates into a farce.
Well, he is using the media to his advantage.
It's like,
yes.
It's like Pegasus, when Maximilian Pegasus defeated like the world champion in Yu-Gi-Oh! In episode like one of Yu-Gi-Oh! The series. And he says, "You're such a bad player, a child could beat you." And then he brings the child up on stage to beat the world champion. Jeff, back me up on this.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kaiba, was he the world champion?
No.
I think I remember. Was that the first episode or something? Why are we talking about Yu-Gi-Oh?
All right.
That was my thought.
So basically, Maximilian Pegasus is Donald Trump in our anime. And the White House is actually Yu-Gi-Oh? No, wait. America is Yu-Gi-Oh. Then Bernie Sanders is an ancient pharaoh, because he's old. Somebody help me out with this metaphor.
I have no idea what you're referencing. I've watched maybe two episodes in my life.
I'm not even going to do
that. My brother thought it was a fun show when he was a kid.
Look, okay, no, America is like the guy with the American bandana.
What, America? Oh, yeah, Bandit Keith.
Bandit Keith is America. In America. All right, go on, Jim. So Donald Trump is still a thing because he's...
How is the Republican establishment not torpedoed his campaign?
How they not torpedoed? Because
the best
burns the sand.
Bernie Sanders, the superdelegates already screwed him, and don't even get me started on how ridiculous I think that process still is.
Look, so then
you have one political party that says what the people want, they get, and you have another political party, the Democrats, that say, yeah, we don't trust the people, so we're going to have X number of politicians decide who our candidate is going to be, not the people. The only reason that the superdelegates transferred over from Hillary Clinton to Obama the first time is because Obama started picking up a lot of the popular vote, and they were basically shamed into switching their votes over. That's not going to happen this time.
Super Tuesday, Brendan.
Clinton is projected to win every state.
Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't
Trump is predicted to win every state in Super Tuesday except Texas, and that's going to be Cruz.
Okay.
So they're both unstoppable juggernauts. So you're going to have disenfranchised Republicans look at the field and go, really, Trump? Yep. And then they're going to look at the other side and go, really, Clinton?
It's time for Ron Paul 2012. I think if Ron Paul 2012
Go back in time.
Come back in
time. Ron Paul 2012 says war is a racket, Brendan.
Well, of course it is. Eisenhower mentioned that the military-industrial complex was getting too powerful in his time.
Ron Paul 2012 says that I can't even do it ironically anymore.
I guess. No, but in all seriousness, how?
Because Ron Paul isn't running, Brendan.
Ron Paul is the Bernie Sanders of the Republican side.
That's why I liked him.
He's a protest voter. A protest candidate, rather.
Okay. Well, nobody told me that I had to register to vote.
You should know that.
Nobody told me the deadline. It was like a month. It was like 3 days before I looked up the deadline.
Oh, God. Anyway.
I feel like that's on the Sanders campaign, though. I got every one of their emails, and they all asked for money. None of them asked for me to register to vote. So, that's on them.
Well, the Latino and the black vote are both for Clinton, so it doesn't matter. No, I absolutely loathe this election cycle more than anything, because there is not a single candidate on either side who is like, yeah, I'd be okay with that person being our president.
My dad thinks that who's the Iowa governor on the Republican side?
Kasich.
Kasich? My dad likes him.
I could live with Kasich, but Kasich doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell.
That's true, but my dad's a smart guy. I don't know. I don't like the Republicans this election cycle. If you haven't noticed, I'm pro Bernie Sanders dank meme stash.
I protest voted. I actually voted in the Republican primary just to try and deny Trump a vote.
That's what my dad did. He voted for you. He voted against Bernie Sanders or something. I don't know. Who do you like better?
Republican side?
On the Democratic
side. Neither of them?
You don't like Bernie Sanders' dank meme stash?
I think of the two, Bernie Sanders has actually stood by what he believes in. For women's rights and minority rights and gay rights and things like that. He's actually, you know, talks the talk, not just walks the walk. Walks the walk, not just talks the talk, rather. So he's actually believed in the same thing for over 50 years, whereas Clinton worked for a senator who was against civil rights, who's had to evolve on the issue of gay rights.
I like how they call it evolving.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've evolved. I haven't, like, completely flip-flopped.
Yeah, yeah. That's the nice way to say flip-flop. So she's, you know, evolved, air quote, on the issue for gay rights and...
Gayest rights.
And civic rights.
Next up, which rights are the gayest?
So, and, you know, there's the whole email crap and all this other nonsense. So I, of the two, sure, Bernie Sanders. Yay. But I don't like either of them.
Thanks, Brendan, for voting for Bernie Sanders' dank memes.
He's not going to win.
Well, you didn't
because
vote for...
Because of superdelegates.
You know...
I voted for Rubio because if it has to be a Republican this time around, of the three that have a shot, I can live with him. His social issues do not line up with mine at all, but his economic issues are close. So I can live with that.
Okay, speaking of social issues and whatnot, why does everyone hate that Scalia died? Or why is everyone happy that Scalia died? But also everything that I read about Scalia's rulings seems to like make a lot of sense.
Scalia is a strict constitutionalist. If the Constitution says no, the answer is no. If the Constitution says nothing about it, this should not be have been brought up. You're wasting my time. Go away. That was Scalia.
Okay. He's the one that died, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Scalia is a Republican who voted on Roe v. Wade and some other stuff. He was on the side that the people who get angry about things on the internet were on the other side of.
So, what? That doesn't narrow down which side he's on.
He's on the conservative side of most decisions.
Most of it, because... Most of his rulings, I don't know, Ars Technica brings up, when Ars brings up his rulings, or well, they did like an overview of like stuff that he wrote, and everything he wrote seemed to be on the side of personal freedoms.
Yes.
Because he was like, apparently he has some like terrible social views, but when it comes to personal freedoms, he is the person you want on your side. As far as like you know, the government getting in your business, but I guess that's a constitution issue because that would make sense.
Yes,
because the government, which sort of brings us to like the Apple thing, which I wanted to bring up.
The company Apple, or
apparently
what?
Brendan is against this.
I hate both sides.
Okay.
So we're talking. I understand both sides of the issue.
We're now talking about the FBI has ruled that Apple.
The courts have ruled that Apple must unlock the phone.
No, that's not the rule. That's not what they're asking. They're asking that Apple build a special firmware update for this one phone.
Mm-hmm.
And by this one phone, they really mean all phones because that's
how they mean the 111 phones that are backlogged for that have already been ruled that need to be unlocked, plus any future phones.
Yeah, so basically every phone. But they're using this one as an example.
This, which makes me annoyed more than anything.
They're not saying unlock it. They're saying build us a tool that will allow us to brute force our way into
yes. So the two sides of the argument are. Apple says no because it hurts the confidentiality and the privacy and the protection of our customers' data and information. The FBI says, come on. And that's about it.
No, they also say terrorism.
So terrorism. The thing that makes me mad more than anything is that not that it is a thing, but the case that is the poster child for this, and that is the San Bernardino terrorist, his phone. Because the libertarian in me says, no government, you're not allowed to do that. This is private property. You're not allowed to bust into things like this. You know, tough shit. The law-abiding citizen in me, I guess, says, A, this is a terrorist phone. And B, they got a warrant, which makes Apple act like it's somehow above the law. And it also kind of turns into an advertisement to people who need to hide things. Hey, buy an Apple phone. The government can't do shit about it. Hey, terrorist, buy an Apple phone. Hey, pedophile, buy an Apple phone. Hey, bank robber, buy an Apple phone. Because they can't break into it and get anything on your phone.
Can the government get a warrant for a safe deposit box?
Yes. The warrant can get a warrant. The government can get a warrant for anything as long as they have reason and probable cause.
So
they can enter a house. They can search a house, enter search a car, enter search a bank account, bank vault, anything like that. Boats, planes, storage units, things like that. The hypocrisy on Apple's side comes from the fact that up until Edward Snowden came out and said that Apple had been helping the government unlock people's phones. They'd been unlocking people's phones for the government. FBI went, hey, Apple, we caught this phone off some criminal. Can you unlock it for us? Apple's like, sure, no problem. Just don't tell anybody we did it. And the government's like, all right, yeah, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. We gotcha. We're cool. And then Edward Snowden came out and said, look what the government and Apple are doing together. And Apple's like, those are things, but don't worry about it. Here's some code. Okay, cool. After 10 tries, the phone blanks itself. And screw you, FBI. We're never doing this again. Well, look, we're on your side. Hooray. Apple is such damn hypocrites about this entire thing. The moment it was brought to light, the moment that the beacon was shined on them.
I think it's because the phones weren't secure enough before. That's what happened. They kept trying to build.
They went to Apple and Apple opened them for them. It doesn't matter about security. Apple was like, okay, and did it for them.
Right, because
they've done it to hundreds of phones.
Because it was feasibly possible back then. Now it is not.
But Apple made the decision to create the code after they were put in the spotlight.
So, I think I don't think you should attribute malice where incompetence is more likely. I think the people writing the code aren't thinking of, well, the FBI can get in. I think the people writing the code are thinking, we need to make the most secure code ever.
Sure.
So then over every iteration, it got more and more secure. And then they're not thinking, the people who are writing that security code are not thinking, let's be sure to make sure that there's a backdoor for the government. Like they're thinking, let's make sure.
Well, there was never officially a backdoor for the government anyway.
Right.
Criminals always were able to figure out a way in. I mean, no matter what is going to happen. You look at the incident where all the celebrities' iPhones got hacked.
Sure.
And all the pictures got put on the internet.
Well, that's a separate issue.
That's a separate issue, but that was a bunch of people hacking into phones.
Most of it was iCloud data, which the government has in this case. The government has the iCloud data from that phone.
Can they get to it?
Well, okay, so here's what happened. So the guy sporadically, the quote-unquote terrorist or whatever, I guess we're calling him a terrorist?
How can you put quotes around this guy?
He
killed 16 people and wounded a bunch more.
Okay.
He's a terrorist.
Murderer, the murderer.
He's a terrorist.
Who does not, because he didn't do a good job inciting terror. He did a good job murdering.
It doesn't matter.
There's a difference
The guy who bombed the Colorado building.
Okay.
Colorado bomber.
Aurora?
Aurora. No. That was the shooting in Aurora.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the government building in Colorado. He filled the truck full of explosives and it went boom.
Right.
I don't remember his name right now because no internet. But he is a domestic terrorist.
Okay.
So somebody who goes and kills a bunch of people who is radical, and they were able to prove it through Facebook because they brute forces their way into Facebook and they saw him and his immigrant wife who came over from there who was more radical than him, who actually radicalized him. That was terrorism. That's domestic terrorism and or foreign terrorism, but that was still terrorism. But go on. He's a terrorist.
So wait. You just said someone else is a terrorist, therefore this guy's a terrorist?
His wife. His wife was more radical than them, radicalized him even more so, and the two of them committed the murder.
But this is Colorado case.
Potato hand grenade. Just keep going. He's a terrorist. You call him a murderer.
Was that what they used to a potato hand grenade? Like what? I'm like lost here. I'm like
no. I'm just making a joke.
Here's the thing. I'm woefully uninformed on who this San Bernardo guy is and what he did. It was my understanding that he went to a corporate party and killed 16 people and then died in a police shootout.
He was at a corporate party. He got pissed off. He went home where he had a bunch of weapons and things because he and his wife were already planning something. Took the weapons, went back to his work, killed a lot of his coworkers and a bunch of other people, and then died in a police shootout. Yes.
So that doesn't seem like terrorism.
In his house, there were explosives, a bunch of guns, and plans to do something.
Sure, that seems like it might be... That he might be a doomsday prepper. I don't know. Like anyway, really? So there's no law against against buying guns.
There's law against making explosives.
Tell that to the rednecks. Anyway, getting mad at a corporate party is not blowing up a government building.
Okay, again. He was planning something. Again, we're getting way off topic. Whether or not we're labeling this person a terrorist, that he is clearly. But we'll talk about that another time, another issue. Go on to the other point that you were making.
Okay, so whether or not this person is a terrorist,
he is.
So iCloud data. That's what we're getting at. Uh-huh. This was a work iPhone. This was not his personal phone. Uh-huh. He destroyed his personal phone and his personal laptop, which would potentially, maybe, who knows, have had contact, to other terrorists, maybe. A bunch of, like, asterisks and, you know, maybes.
That puts a whole new wrinkle in this, because I was not aware that it was his work phone.
He
works for a government entity. As a work phone,
I for, like, Cisco
that
means or something.
That is a government phone.
There's a lot of
that makes it even more annoying, this whole situation.
Does he work for the government?
He worked at a government office, yes.
Oh, okay. Huh. Anyway.
That happened over the week?
The iPhone was backed up sporadically. Uh-huh. It was not backed up regularly.
Uh-huh.
And by backed up, I mean like sent to the iPod.
Yeah.
So that iPhone, knows what apps he's been downloading. Uh-huh. And what's on the phone and whatnot. There's still some data that they can't get, like encrypted texts and other stuff. The FBI has cited a few apps that are like special terrorism communication apps that just aren't really terrorism communication apps. They're just encrypted text messaging.
They're encrypted text messaging, which certain groups are using, but that's like saying Skype is used by Al-Qaeda once, and now it's a... Yeah.
So they're saying like maybe these apps were on the phone, and... The text messages would not be backed up through iCloud from that from that service. But that doesn't matter because they want more recent data than 5 months ago for the iCloud data. The FBI said, "Hey, Apple, get us that iCloud data, would you? Would you?" And then they did. They got them the iCloud data like they requested. And then over the weekend or so. Between the time of we're getting the iCloud data and between the time of the Apple is sending them the iCloud data, the FBI decides that they're going to try to brute force their way into the iCloud data, their own or their something. The FBI somebody changed the iCloud password to this terrorist person. I'm calling a terrorist with air quotes because I don't know. Anyway. The FBI changed his iCloud password to try to get into it, or faster than Apple could send it. Maybe it was an hour, maybe it was a couple days. Maybe time is of the essence. Like we have so much time to make mistakes. So in doing so, what that means is that if you plug in an Apple phone to the wall, and it detects that there's a Wi-Fi network around that it knows. That it's friendly with, it will initiate an iCloud backup.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like, hey, it's time to back up. That auto backup does not initiate if the iCloud password has been changed, which Congratulations, FBI, you changed the iCloud password. The phone can no longer back up. You've locked yourself out of the iCloud data.
Okay.
So that so the FBI ruined his chances to get more recent iCloud data.
Okay, well that's incompetence on their part. But that's
so now this is a oops, we messed up. Let's ruin everybody's civil rights.
You jumped the shark a little bit at the end there, but
okay, well this is I was just catching us back up to the current argument.
Okay. And again, I'm immensely torn between both sides. The thing that really makes me mad is the fact that it's this particular case that's the issue. If it was nearly any other case, then it'd be like, well, FBI, you should have figured it out by now. Or, you know, I thought you were a stronger entity than this. Or freaking give it to the NSA already. I'm sure they have a software. Because when in the grand scheme of things, if you really think about it, the FBI has gone down. CIA is still, like, selling cocaine to people across the ocean and causing people to have civil wars. You know, so they're doing fine. But really, the NSA is the strongest... The NSA is the strongest government entity we have right now. NSA got stupid amount of power real quick. And no one is entirely certain how, but they did, and now, like, they are the thing. So, between the FBI and the NSA, someone should be able to either write that program or do something. So the very fact that, I don't know, because yes, if you make something and it gets out, then you've just screwed over every Apple user. And you've allowed the doomsday scenario that Edward Snowden always cries about. But, I just wish it wasn't about this particular issue.
This particular case?
This particular case. Yeah. That is what's the most disappointing thing about the entire situation.
They're not going to find anything on this phone.
Most likely not. He did, I'll give you that.
The guy destroyed his personal phone and his personal laptop.
Yes.
But that's where his secret contacts are.
In all likelihood, yes.
Like, you're not going to text your terrorist buddies on your government-monitored work phone.
He could have been really stupid, but yes.
Okay, so I guess, like, let's not... So the FBI is, like, saying, I got a hunch that this guy's dumb. And then let's...
Pretty much. Which is unfortunate, because it shouldn't work like that. But... Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sticking with us. It's been we're over time.
Oh, okay.
I'm cutting us off. Hopefully.
No happy moment.
No. All right. Brief happy moment. Go.
Pokemon Sun and Moon. 30 Woo, seconds. It was announced. All right. That's our happy moment.
All right.
That's quite literally all we know is that it's coming holiday 2016. I already called Sun version. We're good.
What about Pokemon?
Z is not happening, apparently.
No. The Pokemon...
Pokken Tekken comes out next. Pokken Tournament comes out next month or something like that. I'm already getting that.
The iPhone version.
What?
Pokemon on the phone.
Oh, Pokemon Go?
Yeah, Pokego.
The virtual reality Pokemon?
Yeah.
Next month. Hey, we live near the coast. Our chance of getting Magikarp is pretty high. We'll get us some Gyarados.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Yeah. All
right. The type of Pokemon you can get is completely determined upon where you are physically.
Okay.
Like, what you can catch in the wild.
I'll cut that up. Okay.
Yeah. So we live near the coast. We can get us some sweet water-type Pokemon.
All right. I can't wait to get some mountain-type Pokemon when I go to Colorado.
You can get you an Onix, probably.
I hate this already. You can email us at storiesandsituations@outlook.com, tweet us at @SansPodcast, or visit our website at storiesandsituations.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Jackson Buck.
I'm Brendan Griffith.
Oh, I'm Jeff Chambers. Podcast out.